Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and today we're continuing in an inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is guiding us through God's Word and showing us how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you're not going to want to miss this. And now, here's Rick with the final part of a message called, When a Marriage Has Ended.
Now, the Bible says this. Look at the next verse. I am completely discouraged. Revive me by late night television. Oh, no, that's not what it says, is it? The word is the antidote to worry. It's filled with comfort. In fact, the Bible says this. Never forget your promises to me, your servant. For they are my only hope. They give me strength in all my troubles, how they refresh and revive me. You know, the biggest problem when you're going through a divorce or a bankruptcy or any other major crisis, you know what's the biggest problem? You can't sleep. Your mind is so wired, you just can't sleep. And you toss and you turn. And what is the antidote to that can't sleep? Sit up and watch infomercials? No. David said this here on the screen. I lie awake at night thinking of your promises. That's going to calm you down. That's going to cheer you up. That's going to get you through. That's going to help you out. It is the word that's going to help you out. You've got to fill your mind with the word of God. Make flashcards, claim the promises of God, hang on to them, keep them by your bedside. Now, there's one other thing that friends do. They speak words of hope. You need to be a hope pusher. You need to be a hope dispenser. You need to be a purveyor of hope. Friends speak words of hope. Friends point out that you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. We're going to be with you. Philippians 1:6 is a good example. God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished. And God is not finished with you, but you got to keep growing. And what you need to do as a friend of a friend, you help your friend say, I'm going to use this situation to grow. I'm not going to get stuck. I'm not going to get stuck and let this define me for the rest of my life. I remember when Kay had cancer. She said, you know what? A lot of people, after they've had cancer, they're known the rest of their lives as a cancer survivor. She said, I'm not going to let that define me. It's just a blip in the road. It's a bump in the road. It's not what I'm going to be known for. She said, I'm not going to let something bad define the rest of my life. And you can't get stuck. Now, what you got to do is you have to ask yourself the tough questions. In the crisis. If you're going through a divorce or you're in a marriage crisis right now, here's a very important question to ask yourself. You could ask your friend this question too. What is it like to be on the opposite side of me? What is it like to be on the opposite side of me? What would it be like to be my wife? What would it be like to be my husband? What would it be like to be my child? What would it be like to be my employee and I'm their boss and I would be my own boss? What would it be like to be whatever? The point is you have to learn to see from the other person's point of view. And during this crisis, you don't focus on God solve the situation. You focus on becoming a man of God. And you focus on becoming a woman of God. You say, God, work on me. Work on me. Focus on what I need. And you develop new habits and you break old habits. You know, another important question you can ask if you're going through a divorce is, or have been through a divorce is, what can I do with God that I couldn't have done when I was married? It's an important question. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about the advantages of being single. And he says, you know, you got more freedom, you got less distraction, you got more time to serve the Lord. Now, if you want to get married again, that's okay. I mean, that's marriage. But as I pointed out last week, the odds get worse. 41% of marriages end in divorce, 41%. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. And over 70% of third marriages end in divorce. The odds get worse. Why? Well, as a pastor, I've watched this for years and years and years, and I'll tell you why. The number one reason is people jump into a relationship too soon. Before they have been healed. They're out there and they're in a hurry. Give me somebody, anybody, anybody, just give me somebody, okay? Either financial pressure, sexual pressure, loneliness, you jump in the wrong relationship too early. Now, this is just my opinion, but I've counseled a lot of people. I would tell you, if you've been through a divorce, don't even think about another relationship for 5 years. At least three, better five. Why? You didn't get messed up overnight, and you're not going to get unmessed overnight. There's a lot of work to do in you. You need to become a godly woman. You need to become a godly man. And I'm begging you, if you want to beat the odds where 60% of second marriages don't work and 70% of third don't, then what you need to do is take your time. Patience is a virtue. Let God work in you. And by the way, the other reason why those second and third marriages often don't work is people vastly underestimate the problems of blending a family. Anybody want to give a testimony on that? I mean, it's a whole lot harder than the Brady Bunch made it look like. Okay? And you might want to wait until your kids are grown up on that. My dearest friend went through a divorce many, many years ago that he did not want, that he fought, that broke his heart, and he did everything he could to try to save his marriage. But as I said, you can't save a marriage by yourself. And this dear friend of mine, I watched him over the next 7 years of his life as a single adult work on God making him the man of God he ought to be. And I watched God build integrity in his life and character in his life and godliness in his life. And I watched this man transformed before my eyes. And he is a dear, dear friend. I want you to give a warm welcome to hear the testimony of Pastor Glenn.
The greatest shock I'd ever received was the day my wife of 26 years announced to me in October of 1985 that she no longer loved me and she was moving out of the house to live with our next door neighbor. When that bombshell hit me, I was devastated. My heart was broken. I wanted to die. I felt like I was out in the middle of an ocean with no life jacket and thousands of miles of water everywhere. I knew I was going to drown, but I really did not care. And the next 5 years were perhaps the most painful years of my life. I had failed in the most important area of a Christian husband's life. I had neglected my marriage without even knowing it. I had failed as the spiritual leader of my family and did not realize I was failing. As a Christian, I knew what the Bible said about the sacredness of marriage. God instructs us to honor our marriage vows. And now, my marriage was ending in divorce. I tried everything I could think of to save the marriage. I pleaded with her. I tried to bargain with God. I prayed. However, my prayers were more about, Lord, help me to figure this thing out so I can fix it, rather than asking God to grow and change me. However, I did know that I needed to have help. Two friends, a husband and a wife, came alongside of me. They were godly people. They knew the scriptures, and they were empathetic. Not sympathetic, but empathetic. They felt my pain with me. They encouraged me with their hugs, with their words, with their counsel, and with their prayers. They prayed with me, and they prayed for me. They were real friends. And do you know how I knew they were real friends? I knew because they did not give me nice platitudes, but they helped me to look at myself in the mirror. And then they helped keep me accountable for my part in the failure of my marriage. And they encouraged me. They gave me hope. They did not let me slide. They did not give me a pass. And they would not let me shift the blame. And that's what real friends do. In that first year, I cried a lot. I was discouraged. My heart was broken. I had lost all hope, and the mixture of anger, guilt, and bitterness overwhelmed me. I wanted to quit everything, my ministry as well as my life. However, with the help of these friends, I came to realize that I needed to accept the reality of what was happening in my life. Then, with a godly Christian counselor, we began to look at my life, not her life, but my life. Christian counseling made me ask some very hard, difficult questions of myself about my way of thinking, about my way of doing things, about control issues, about my lack of emotions and sensitivity in my marriage and other relationships. After a year of real scrutiny and a lot of hard work, I finally began to see some change in my life. During that time, I also received all kinds of advice from people, from neighbors, friends, inside and outside the church. Sadly, however, most of that advice was based on human feelings and sympathy, not God's word. People would tell me things like, well, it wasn't your fault. Go ahead and get a divorce. Or, you've got to do what's best for you. Others said, you've tried 3, 4, 5 years now to reconcile. Just let her go. Some even encouraged me to start dating again, even we were only separated, not divorced. Because my desire was to do what God wanted, I lived alone for 7 years. 7 years of healing. 7 years of doing everything possible to become a more godly man. During that time, I cried out to God. I prayed. I continued to go counseling. I looked at God's word every day. I looked for ways to change my life, for ways to grow and to become a better man, a more godly man. I read the Bible, not just to gain knowledge, but rather I was trying to learn and live out God's word in the relationships of my life. For the first several months of separation, I opened my Bible every day to the book of Philippians. There's just 4 chapters in that book, so I read them over and over and over. I read such words as, rejoice in the Lord always. I can tell you, I did not feel like rejoicing. I wanted to cry. But I did. I rejoiced in the Lord in spite of the feelings, in spite of the circumstances. I found something, no matter how small, each day to rejoice in. I came to realize there was nothing I could ever do to change my wife, but I could change myself. So I began to focus in on some old habits that I had that needed to be changed. And during those 7 years while living alone, I had plenty of time to develop new healthy habits. I did things by purpose and by design that would help me to become a better, healthier person. For instance, I broke a pattern of workaholism. I began leaving the office at 5 p.m. instead of 8, 9, and 10 p.m. I wouldn't take work at home. I wouldn't think about work at home. Instead, I began reading more. I began to do some recreational things. I got involved in a separated men's support group, guys helping me work through this. And after time and healing, I started leading a small group. I worked on having healthy relationships. I even began to take time to smell the roses along the road of life and enjoy the life God had given me. None of this would have been possible if I hadn't dealt with the issue of forgiveness. You can't be bitter and grow at the same time. As a Christian, I knew that forgiveness was the only way I was going to stop hurting. So I did three things. First, I asked for and received God's forgiveness in my life. Then I asked my wife for forgiveness for the hurt I had caused her, for the neglect. And then I forgave her for leaving me the other ways I felt I had been hurt. Now that was not easy. But when I did ask for forgiveness and forgave her, I felt set free from the bonds and the root of my pain. I'm so grateful to God for helping me to ask for and offer forgiveness when I did. Because about 4 years later, I received a phone call from my former wife. And after saying hi, she said these words to me. Can you come and help me prepare to die? You see, she, a few years after the divorce, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And that day, she did not hang up the phone until she had spent about 30 minutes repenting and asking my forgiveness. Fortunately, after that phone call, God gave her another 8 weeks to live so she could make things right with her family and others. The ending of my marriage was the most devastating event in my life. I thought that God was through with me and that my life was finished. But as Pastor Rick has said so many times, God's purpose for your life and my life is greater than any problem or broken heart you'll ever face. I could have missed God's plan for the rest of my life if I had relied on my human desires and listened to the advice of the world that I had received. But I chose to listen only to godly biblical advice and counseling. And then not just listen, but I began to apply that in my life, in my thought process, my decision making, my actions, and how I treated and responded to people. And I do believe that through applying God's principles in my life, I eventually became a better person instead of a bitter person. In closing, if you are considering a divorce today, let me encourage you to stop and reconsider. If you think a divorce is going to solve your problems, I think you're making a mistake. Make sure you are doing things God's way. And if you're here just experiencing a broken heart for whatever reason, my advice is the same. Seek godly, biblical counsel. Do not accept, do not receive any advice given out of sympathy for your situation. Accept and act on counsel that comes directly out of the Bible, God's Word. Happiness is going to come from God doing things God's way.
Let me close by just saying two brief words to two different groups. For those of you who are in a crisis right now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but let me tell you this. God is trying to get your attention. The Bible says this up here on the screen. God sometimes uses sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek eternal life. God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. Pain is God saying to you, hello, I want to help you if you will surrender it all to me. And Jesus Christ can heal your heart. He can restore the joy. He can replace peace of mind in your mind. He can strengthen your heart. He can make all those changes, but you've got to surrender it all to him. How do you do that? The last verse on your outline says this, put your heart right. What does that mean? It means, God, I'm going to do the right thing. Not the easy thing, not the convenient thing, not the thing that I want to do, not the comfortable thing. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do what's right. Not what everybody's telling me to do. I'm going to do what's right. Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Then face the world again, firm and courageous, and all of your troubles will fade from your memory. Now, for those of you who are not in a crisis right now, just wait. It's coming. Because life is a series of crises. You're either in a crisis, you just came out of one, you're in it, or you're getting ready to go into the next one. Because life is just a series of crises. But if you're not in a crisis right now, God wants you to be a friend. And here's my question to you. Who do you need to be a friend to this week? Do you know anybody in your life in major pain? If you don't, then you don't have any friends because everybody's in pain. Everybody has a hidden hurt. Everybody has a hidden hurt. You just don't know it. You're an acquaintance. Be a friend this week. Who do you need to show up in their life? And you need to share their pain. And you need to pray with them. And you need to drag them to church next week. And you need to do all the things we just talked about. You know, in Southern California, there are millions of people in pain. And there's no way any one church could deal with it all. It was not, what we've talked about today is not the job of a pastor. It's not the job of a missionary. It's not the job of a professional counselor. This is what friends do. This is what it means to be a real friend. Who will you be a friend to this week? Let's bow our heads in prayer. You know, Father, we can restore a lot of things. We can restore damaged cars, and we can restore a damaged painting and a damaged house, and we can restore even damaged antiques. But only you, God, you, Jesus Christ, can restore a soul, a broken heart. So I pray that many will say yes to your healing today. Now you pray. In your heart, say, Jesus, I've got some damaged emotions. I've got some unfinished business, and I need your help. Say, Jesus, I need you to remove my guilt. I ask you to forgive all of my sins. Jesus, I need you to relieve my grief. Help me to look at what's left, not what's lost. Jesus, I need you to replace my grudges. Help me to let it go so I can get on with my life. I need you to restore my soul today. I surrender every area of my life to you. Now, with our heads still bowed, you may not know the people sitting on either side of you, but I want you to pray in your heart privately for them. And here's what I'd like for you to pray. I'd like you to pray, Dear Jesus, please heal the hidden hurts of the person on my right side. In your mind right now, just say, Dear Jesus, please heal the hidden hurts of the person on my right, whatever they may be. And then do it for the person on the other side of you. Dear Jesus, please heal the hidden hurts of the person on my left, whatever they may be. In your name I pray. Amen.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me. Pray for me and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.